And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting adventure on Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we are going to try a Nuttall Family Pinot Noir. This is called Bill's Hidden Track. We'll get to that and whatever that means. We'll get to all that in a little bit. But this should be an interesting wine to drink. I tried this. Well, actually, I didn't try this. I went to the wine store, and this was one of the ones that was recommended. Actually, you know what? I think I did taste test this one just briefly. I don't really remember what it tasted like, to be honest. So we're going to try it, open it up tonight, see how it tastes. We're going to pair it with some foods. I have some great food to pair it with that my lovely wife, Chi, prepared. So we're going to try it out and see how it works. We're also going to talk about some other stuff. I've got a news item to share with you as well from the wine world, as well as we're going to talk about wine labeling 101, and we're going to cover that just a little bit, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to, of course, do the usual stuff, toasting birthdays, anniversaries. We have some birthdays to toast, a really nice anniversary to toast, and some national days. This should be fun. Anyway, if you're just joining me for the first time, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have some show notes, and they're right there. But sometimes we get off on tangents. We talk about other stuff. We're just having fun. This is a show about wine, kind of. It is. But it's also a show about you and me, about us. This isn't about me. This is about us. So join me in the chat. Speak up. Tell me how you're doing. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you're not drinking. Tell me what you'd like to be drinking. Tell me what you'd like to see me drink. And we'll see if we can make that happen on a future wine stream. Anyway, if you're just joining me now, of course, you can watch me on Facebook. You can watch the show on, you can watch us, I should say. Watch us on the Facebook page, Drink with Rick. You can also catch us on YouTube at Drink with Rick. And you can join in the chat there. I've got the chat open right now. And we have someone watching the chat. We don't have anyone engaging right now. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv, and watch on Periscope through Twitter. You can go to Twitter, Drink with Rick at Twitter, and we're on live right there. I can see us right there live on Twitter. So you can connect with me there, and you can watch live, and you can tweet me live, and I'll respond to the tweets in kind as soon as I can. Also, you can watch us on the website, drinkwithrick.com. That's drinkwithrick.com on the Saturday Night Wine Stream there. And there is no chat in the box. You can watch live, but you can go down below where the video is and comment, and I will respond to your comments. Of course, you can also contact me at rick@savoiamedia.com. That's rick@savoiamedia.com. Of course, the podcast, you can catch the podcast on Monday nights. It comes down Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch it wherever you can listen to podcasts, pretty much. Look for Drink with Rick. And you'll be sure to hear the show if you like to listen in the car or listen whenever after the fact. And you can catch up with us there. All right, well, tonight we have, let's check the chats here. And in Facebook, we have Tim has joined us in the chat. Tim, I'm happy you're here. How are you doing? How's your daughter doing? How's the family? And Frosty has joined us tonight. Frosty, you know, I need to get you, send me, private message me or email me a shipping address where I can send you the items that you won during the holidays. You know, that I think it was a t-shirt. I think is what you won in there, and I need to get that information from you so I can send it to you. And my lovely wife, Chi, has joined us in the chat also. Tim says, doing well, thanks. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm glad that you're here and stick around. We're going to have some fun tonight. There was something else. What was it? This is my stream of consciousness going off in another direction at the moment. Oh, yes. Also, Bill Horton, if you're watching later or you catch us later on in the show now, please get in touch with me. I need your address as well, because you want some items as well, and I need to get with you. I have a couple of things that I'm ready. They're ready to ship out, but I haven't received the addresses where I can ship these to. So if you can get those to me, when you get a chance, that would be great, and I can get those out to you. Let's see. Let's go ahead and go into the wine. Now, tonight, what we're drinking, and let me show you. Let me make sure I've got the wines up here. Yes, we do. This is, well, I guess it's not. Let me do this manually. My Stream Deck isn't responding there. Okay, well, this is a Nuttall Family Pinot Noir. This is from Sonoma Coast in California. This is a 2016. It's also called Bill's Hidden Track. That's, I guess, I'm not sure exactly why it's called that. But Bill, I think, is referring to William Nuttall, who is the winemaker in this case, who owns the Nuttall Family Winery. And he's been making wine for about 40 years or so. And this is the back end. Let me show you the back side of this wine, the back label. And I'll read this to you. What this is, Nuttall Family, Bill's Hidden Track. Our family's winemaking experience stretches over four decades now, but the mystery of wine still fascinates. The next generation has entered the fray, fully immersed in the vast puzzle that is winemaking. Bill has blended thousands of wines, marveling at how the various components merge like the tracks in a rock and roll recording. That's an interesting analogy. Put every track in perfect balance and a sublime wine emerges. This is produced and bottled by William Nuttall Winery, Sonoma, California. Actually, I'm not sure if it's pronounced Nuttall or Nuttall. I'm pronouncing it Nuttall. So if anyone from Nuttall Winery or Nuttall Winery wants to come and correct me, it's certainly fine to do so. I have no shame. you can get more information at williamnuttall.com. This is also interesting. I'm going to bring this up later, but you can't really see it on the front label, but it does say 13.5%. No, 13 point. It says here 13. It's hard to read. Let's see. 13.3% alcohol by volume. Well, whatever it is, there is alcohol in it because it is a wine. So We're gonna talk about this labeling here in a little bit as we get into the show. It should be fun. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and open this. And to do so, I have my foil cutter right here. We're going to open up this bottle. And it should be a clean, yes, it's a clean break there. And then, of course, I've got my trusty mechanical... This mechanical contraption is, for those of you who are watching for the first time, a corkscrew, mechanical corkscrew bottle opener that my wife purchased for me at an estate sale. She got it for $5, but apparently it was sold by Aldi in the UK and somehow wound up here in the US, probably from the estate that sold it. Anyway, I'm going to take that out later. It's a really nice contraption, by the way. Really, really like it. And I'm going to pour the wine. I have my Veneto aerator from the Veneto Wine Lovers Kit. I have this. You can actually purchase it. There's a link on my site, an ad on my site, actually, somewhere. For this $19.99 for the entire kit, you can get it from Amazon, but you can get the aerator itself for about $12.99, something like that, at Amazon as well. And we gave a couple of these away at the during the holidays on the wine stream. So, you know, I might pick up another couple more of these. They seem to be rather popular with folks. And I think Matt or John, somebody from Wine Store told me that they have a couple of these that they use. maybe I'm trying to remember who it was that did, but they said they have a few. Anyway, so of course, to pour it in here, I've got it in. I've got my trusty Cooper's Hawk genuine crystal glass from the Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant in Orlando, Florida. We're going to go ahead and pour a little bit of this wine. Just a little bit. It has a nice color to it. I was expecting the Pinot would be. It's a kind of a medium, almost a light-bodied wine, but it's a kind of medium body. And you can't really tell from the lights here because the lights are just shooting down on it straight down. So it looks dark on camera, but it really is, from my vantage point, kind of a medium-bodied wine. So it's not bad. We're going to let this breathe just a little bit. And while we're doing that, I'm going to show you a couple of things. I'm going to show you what I have to pair it with tonight. Tonight, I have this plate that my lovely wife, Chi, put together for me. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. I'm talking to my wife now, okay? we have some pizza. This should all go good with a Pinot. We have some grilled burger that my wife made, and a slice of pizza with black olive in it. That came from a local place called Brooklyn Pizza. Very good pizza, by the way. And we have some rotisserie chicken. I think this came from Harris Teeter, our local supermarket here. We have some Gouda. We've got my favorite Gouda cheese from Trader Joe's, the creamy Gouda. We have some, it looks like some mozzarella here. And this looks like smoked cheddar. I don't know that it's going to go well with smoked cheddar. I think I was going to put a mild cheddar on here that would have gone really well with this, I think, but it doesn't look like it wound up on the plate. And also a dessert that my wife made. This is called a Millionaire's Bar. This should be interesting to try it out for dessert. So while we're letting that wine breathe a little bit more, let me take a look and see. Let's look at the thing, the particulars on this wine. This wine, you know, it's interesting. I went searching for it on the internet. This is a 2016, and it is sold out everywhere. Apparently, this vintage is done. I went to the website for the vintner, which is the Nuttall Family Farms. Their website is interesting. It's not a whole lot to their site. They didn't have any information on this vintage, except I have a one sheet here from that I pulled up off the web from a couple of years ago, and I can read that to you a little bit. I'm looking around a wine store, which is where I purchased this, winestore-online.com. They didn't even have it listed. It's still in their store, but it's not even listed. So I believe that this is probably the last case that I got this wine from. Maybe it's just the last of their wines, and so maybe if it's any good, I might want to go pick up a couple more before it's gone. 2016. Let's see. I think where else did I see it at? Chapel Hill Wine Company. They had it available for $23.99, and it is sold out there. Chapel Hill Wine Company. I think Chapel Hill, North Carolina. $23.99 a bottle. I saw it at other places priced around the $20 bottle one. I saw one for about $31, I think, $31 a bottle. I don't remember where I saw that. I think if I remember correctly, that's what the price was. But at Wine Store, this is what I purchased it for at Wine Store. I've got the receipt right here. Wine Store, I purchased this bottle for $14.99. So we're going to find out if it's a $14.99 bottle or not. I have some other particulars on this wine that I'll read it to you after I try this. I want to try this first, and we'll give it a good swirl. Let's see how it goes. Try not to. My wife just washed this. Remember last week I spilled some on my sweater, and my wife cleaned that for me this past week. I don't want to get dirty again right away. Right away, I smell the berries. It's a mix of different red berries in there. I can pick up some cherries, maybe a little raspberry in there. Maybe a hint of strawberry. I think there's some strawberry in there. Yeah, a hint of strawberry. Let's see. Hmm. well-developed wine. It's dry. It's dry. It's not. It's a little tannic, but not a lot. There are some tannins in there, mild tannins, but it goes down fairly well. It feels a little medium in terms of the flavors. Yeah, cherry, some strawberry, yeah. Maybe a hint of plum. Maybe a hint of plum. And it's funny, I thought I smelled raspberry on the nose, but I'm not really getting that now. Few spices in there. Few spices. And it's a pretty smooth finish. It goes down rather smoothly. It goes down pretty well. A little acidic, I would say. Light to medium acidity, and maybe just a slight oakiness to it. Slight oakiness, not a whole lot, but it finishes well. I kind of like this. It finishes well. I'm going to have a little bit more of this. And then we're going to pair it with some foods, and we'll talk to everyone in the chat here. Let me set that aside for a moment. Let's see what's going on in the chat here. Patty has joined us in the chat. Patty, great to see you. I'm happy that you're here. Stick around and tell me how you're doing, how things are going with you. Of course, Patty is Patty and I go way back to the film club, the Orlando Cinematography Club of Orlando, which later became the Association of Cinematic and Video Arts. That goes way, way back to mid-80s, early 90s. And we had a lot of fun at that club. We had made a few films and things like that. Had a lot of fun. We went out to eat a lot after the club meetings. Okay, this Pinot should pair pretty well with a couple of things I have picked out here. And, I forgot to bring out my little miniature forks here, but I'm going to grab a couple now. Whoop. Let's see. Let's try it first with the burger, because I think that's what I really need to try this first with. And admittedly, the burger's a little cold because it's been sitting up here for a few minutes. Still decent. Yeah, it does well with the burger. It goes well with the grilled burger. I like that. And Nancy's joined us in the chat. Nancy, it's great to see you. I'm happy to see you here as well. Nancy and Nancy and Tom Fenton are very old and dear friends of ours. I've been for many, many years. And Matt's joined us in the chat as well. Matt, it's great to see you too. We're drinking, just in case you didn't know, we're drinking this Nuttall Family Pinot Noir that I purchased at Wine Store a couple of weeks ago. And I'm trying it now. I want to try another Pinot. We did two Pinots 2 weeks in a row. And I'm not ashamed of that at all. I like a good Pinot. But this, we're testing it out right now. We're trying out with a few wines here, a few foods. I haven't had enough of this wine yet. We're going to try it with this grilled chicken. I've got a grilled chicken here. Now, Pinot Noir, it can go okay with a good grilled chicken. Not grilled, excuse me, roasted chicken. This was not bad. I like it better with the burger, but it's not bad with the chicken. Now, of course, we have. I do want to try it with a pizza. With pizzas, Pinots go pretty good with some Pinots do actually go, and they're different Pinots, like Pinots from France and Pinots from California, Pinots from different regions, go better with certain foods than others. But as a general rule, a Pinot Noir will pair pretty well with a wide range of foods. And this should go good with a pizza. However, if I had mushrooms on it, it might go better because a Pinot Noir with a mushroom burger or a mushroom pizza, something like that, will usually pair up pretty well with. We'll try it with this. I like that pizza. Oh, good. I don't have enough of this pizza or this wine. I could have pizza and wine all night. Couldn't you? Pizza and wine. Great combination. Have some more of this. I don't want to be rude eating in front of everybody. So if you got some wine, if you got something to eat, pair it with some wine, do it now, please. This is good. I like that. That's a good pairing. That's a good pairing right there. Let's see anyone else in the chat, see what's going on Twitch. I'm checking around. I'm making sure that I'm not missing anyone here tonight because I know I kind of neglected Twitch a little bit last week, and I found late in that there were a lot of people watching and commenting, and I missed some of the comments in the very beginning. I don't want to do that again. I don't like doing that. I get onto other, like I watch certain other shows. Like I'll watch Todd Cochran's Geek News Central when he does his live streaming for his podcast. I'll watch the New Media Show with Todd and Rob Greenlee. And I do a few other things, but mostly podcast-centric streams. But I'll get in the chat and, you know, make some comments. And, you know, it's a very social event. But I know what it feels like to have the host go on and on and then just ignore your comments. And I don't want to do that. That's not what I'm here to do. Once again, this is not about me. This is about us. So come on in. Don't be afraid to comment. Don't be afraid to tell me what's on your mind. We're going to try this with a little bit of the creamy Gouda. As always, this Pinot goes really good with the Gouda. Okay, I am going to have a little cracker to clear the palate. And we're going to toast some birthdays. There you go. Maybe a little water, too. And the water should clear the palate. Okay, that helps. Don't mind me, I'm going to be snacking on this throughout the show. This is good, especially, I think, the pizza. We'll try the dessert later. But for now, let's refill the glass. Because we're going to toast some birthdays. And some anniversaries. Or an anniversary. And we have some birthdays coming up for people that I definitely want to recognize. First one goes to Mike Dell, my good friend Mike Dell from Blueberry.com. He basically runs a support team over there, Blueberry.com, and he is a great all-around guy. He's a really nice guy. He's been a podcaster for eons, about as long as I've been podcasting, maybe a little bit longer. And he probably has been a little bit longer than me. I think he probably started podcasting in 2005. He's also a ham, a licensed ham radio operator. He has many talents, and he's done a number of different shows. He does a lot of different podcasts, and he's also very, very knowledgeable in the space. Anyway, here's to my friend Mike Dell. Happy birthday, by the way. Your birthday is today, still for another hour and a half. So once again, Mike Dell, happy birthday. And my friend Mike. Also, it's Raed Alamed. I want to say happy birthday to you too. It's been a while since I've seen or talked to you, but he used to be a regular in used to be a listener of the Force Field podcast, and I first met him with OnForce when we were both doing contract work with OnForce, and way back in the day when I was doing IT work, and he was a member of the Force Field forums for a long time. Anyway, here's to you. Happy birthday, Riot. Happy birthday. Your birthday is Tuesday. It's actually coming up on Tuesday, 28th. So happy birthday. Also, I want to toast my good friend Christina Chamberlain. I know she's popped in the chat here once or twice, sort of incognito, but I noticed that she's been in the chat a couple of times. And she is the wife of my dear friend and pretty much a brother to me. Brother from another mother, I guess you could say. Jim Chamberlain. Jim and I have been, you know, very, very close friends. I consider him a brother. And here's to you, Christina. Happy, happy birthday. I hope you're having a great one. I think your birthday is actually Wednesday, coming up on the 29th. I just want to make sure I toasted you. I did not want to forget your birthday. I want to make a point not to forget your birthday. She is a really fine person, and we all love you, Christina, and we want to celebrate your birthday. Happy birthday. And I'll toast you again as well, Christina, because, you know, she is a dedicated mother and a wife, and she's just a fine person. Christina, here's to you. And, you know, my friend Jim, all my friends have made some really, really good choices in marriage and family life, and I'm real proud of Jim. He is a really, really nice guy. He's a great guy. I'm very blessed to have them as friends. And I really consider them more family than anything else, really. And also, I want to say happy birthday to my friend Rob Greenlee. Rob, your birthday is coming up on Thursday, and I didn't want to forget yours either. Rob and I have known each other for a long, long time. I met Rob, online. I met Rob virtually when he was working for Microsoft in the Zoom Marketplace, and I was first trying to get my podcast up on the Zoom Marketplace, and he helped me out a lot there. And he's currently working at Libsyn. I works for Libsyn, and that's where I've hosted some of my podcasts on Libsyn over the years. And he also has his own podcast that he does, and he does the New Media Show, the weekly New Media Show with my friend Todd Cochran. Excuse me. No, I've had enough of the food to go with the wine. Anyway, Rob is a really nice guy, and he's very, very knowledgeable about the space, very knowledgeable. And Rob, here's to you. Happy birthday. I'll toast you again also. Rob, it's coming up Thursday, the 30th. Happy birthday to Rob Greenlee. And I hope you're going to have a really, really great one. Do something really special on your birthday, you know. And let's see. We have an anniversary to toast. Again, it does it for the birthdays, but we have an anniversary to toast, and I want to toast I want to toast a couple here that are celebrating their 11th anniversary, their 11th wedding anniversary. They actually celebrated it yesterday. It was actually yesterday, 24th Friday, and this is for Jared and Rachel Easley. Jared and Rachel. Jared Easley is a co-founder of Podcast Movement, which is one of the largest podcast conventions, events in the country, here in the U.S. anyway, and it gets a lot of worldwide attention. People come from all around. I have not yet attended Podcast Movement. Now, here's the thing. I have yet to go to Podcast Movement. I've been to PodFest for the last couple of years. Tommy and I go to PodFest. It's in Orlando, as it will be this year as well. And we already have our tickets for PodFest. But that's coming up in March. But Podcast Movement, I've been wanting to go for a long, long time. Have not been able to go. Generally because where they hold it is in places where it's just not feasible in a times that it's not feasible for me to get to. Now, I'll tell you what, Jared, if you're listening, if you're watching now, I know you've heard me say this before. I think I actually officially met Jared when we when he came up for last year for a Charlotte meetup with Podcast Movement to the local Charlotte podcasters meetup. And at the time, I made a mention to him that, you know, if you could have it a little bit closer, at least 1 year, like to Atlanta or someplace. Charlotte would be nice, but, you know, maybe in Atlanta or somewhere in Tennessee or somewhere where, you know, it's not too far for me to drive because I generally don't fly. That would be great. And but one of these days, if they ever host it in Atlanta or maybe – I don't know, maybe Washington, somewhere near, not too far. And it's some major, you know, fairly major area, city, maybe Nashville or something like that, Charlotte. Definitely try to make a point to go. Anyway, here's to you, Jared. And I didn't mean to get off on a tangent there, but this is really about your anniversary, Jared and Rachel. 11 years, happy anniversary. And you know what? I'll toast you again because I went too long on that other stuff and not enough on your anniversary. 11 years. Happy anniversary. So, keep that on here. There we go. So, anniversaries are done. Now, we got some national days to toast. Before we do that, let me get in the... to the chat and see what's going on in the chat. Anyone going on Twitch? If you're on Twitch and you're just passively watching, speak up. I'm here. I'm watching it. I'll keep an eye on it. We did have some questions from folks in Twitch last week, I think I did address that at the very end. But I wanted to reiterate one of the things that we were talking about last week that. When we were talking about the presentation, I was doing a multi-part series on presentation of wines and products in general, and how wine, the presentation of the wine, is it really influences you greatly, whether you realize it or not. It's a huge influence on whether you buy that wine and how you purchase wine, whether or not you like the wine. Most people have already made up their minds about the wine when they purchase that bottle, usually, unless it's really, really bad, unless it's corked or something. When you see that wine label, when you see that wine bottle, or if somebody's recommended a wine to you, you've pretty much already made up your mind whether or not you're going to like this wine until before you open it up. And it's a lot of it's psychological. And, you know, people collect wine bottles and they collect wine labels. Yeah, there are people that collect wine labels. And there's actually a procedure, from what I've seen on the internet, there are procedures. People have developed procedures for removing labels from the bottles so they can save them and archive them. I did not know this. I like to save a bottle of wine or two, you know, empty bottle, just because I thought it was unique or I liked the design of the label or something. But I never was that fanatical about it. Yeah, I know. Look behind me. Yeah, I'm not a fanatic about saving wine bottles. Of course not. Look, that's for show, okay? He said. But really, there are people that are very, very... that's their hobby. They collect wine bottles and wine labels and stuff like that. Now, I am going early into it. We haven't toasted the national days yet, and here I am already getting to the presentation segment. But let's do the national days real quick because we also have a news item that might interest most of you or you might find interesting. Pete has joined us in the chat also. Pete, it's great to see you. How are Denise and Aunt Connie doing? I hope everyone's watching. I hope Aunt Connie's doing well. I hope you and Denise are doing well. You know, stick around and talk to me in the chat. Tell me how things are going with you. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yes, National Days. Let's toast the National Days for a minute. We're going to toast the National Days. That is, where is my National Day calendar? Here it is. January 25th is National Florida Day. Now, yes, you know, I've been waiting for this. Being a natural Floridian, natural born and raised Floridian, I am. In fact, a lot of people, even when I lived in Florida, there were when people approach me and say, you know, how long you live in Florida? Well, I was born and raised here, and they would raise their eyebrows because a lot of people that have come down to Florida were not born in Florida. And I am a native Floridian. I am a native Floridian. Now, I've lived in North Carolina for a total of 22 years now. Can you believe that? I never even thought of it. When I was born in Gainesville, Florida, spent the first 2 years of my life basically living with my grandparents and my mom and dad on the coast, my grandparents' house, because they had a beach house on the on Flagler Beach. I spent the first 2 years of my life there, and we've gone back there many, many times. And I do consider that my first home, because for all intents and purposes, it was. And I have a lot of fond memories of times, good times there. My grandparents, they were just great. They were wonderful, warm people. And my grandmother was real, she could be pretty strict. Reminds me of my wife, Chi, sometimes. She could be a tough cookie, but she's just a really sweet person that showed you every day in so many ways how much she loved and cared about you. Very, very sweet lady. Anyway, I'm digressing. So I was born in Florida, and I've lived in Florida for 35 years total. I was born in Florida. We moved up to North Carolina, lived there for 10 years in Salisbury, moved back to Florida, back to Orlando. So I lived in O-Town and around the surrounding areas, Winter Park and Oviedo and places like that, Winter Springs. Total for about 35 years, and then we moved back up to Charlotte about 12 years ago. It's been 12 years now, so that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, National Florida Day, I want to toast this with pride because I love Florida. It is my home. Here's to National Florida Day. And you know what? I'm going to toast it again just because I can, and I still have plenty of wine left in this bottle to do so. So here's to National Florida Day. I do have a very deep roots in Florida. Let's see, National Irish Coffee Day. National Irish Coffee Day. I like Irish coffee. You drink Irish coffee? Anybody here in the chat, you drink Irish coffee? You like it? Do you not like it? Now, what do you think of Irish coffee? It's okay. It's okay. I could drink the National Irish Coffee Day. I'll do that. Why not? Let me go back to my, here we go. Oh, no, that's wrong. Here we go. National Irish Coffee Day. Okay, and today is National Opposite Day. Did you know that today is National Opposite Day? Well, it is, for about another hour and 17 minutes. National Opposite Day. So I go in this afternoon, and I'm looking at the calendar. By the way, I'm looking at this on my National Day calendar, which, by the way, I'm pulling all of these from. And you can pull up the National Day calendar at nationaldaycalendar.com, and you can actually purchase one. They only have a few of them left. I think they're selling out on those calendars pretty quickly. So if you have a if you want to buy a National Day calendar, I just lost my Facebook feed for a minute. Sorry, that threw me off. Looks like we're hanging up here on Facebook a little bit. Let me know if you lose this feed on Facebook, let me know right away because it's hanging up for me. So anyway, where was I? If you don't have a National Day calendar and you like the National Days, it's a lot of fun. You can still purchase a National Day calendar from nationaldaycalendar.com. And you might want to go get them now because they're going pretty quick. Anyway, so I'm looking at the National Day calendar, the one that we have on our wall. And I noticed that today is National Opposite Day. So I go into my daughter's room and I say, hey, Tia, did you know that today is National Calendar Day? Oh, no, excuse me, National Calendar. Maybe I have had enough of this. I said to her, Tia, did you know that it's National Opposite Day? And she said, no, it isn't. And I said, yes, today is National Opposite Day. She says, well, if it's National Opposite Day, that means it isn't. That means it isn't National Opposite Day. And I said, no, it's National Opposite Day. She says, no, it's not. It's not a National Opposite Day because it's the opposite of being National Opposite. Yeah, it took me a minute or two. It was, I know. That didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. But anyway, she got me on that one. She got me on that one. I was not expecting that response from her. That's my daughter. Anyway, so to here, the National Opposite Day. Let me go back here. There we go. No, wrong. There we go. National Opposite Day. I'll drink to that. So on National Opposite Day, should I be drinking something else besides this wine? Should I be drinking a different wine? Should I be drinking, let's see, the Pinot Noir we had last week? I don't know. Maybe I've had too much of this already. National Opposite Day. Anyway, so what else do we have here for National Days? National Seed Swap Day. The last Saturday in January is National Seed Swap Day. I'm not really sure what that's all about. January 26th, that's tomorrow, is National Green Juice Day. I don't know. I have no words for that. National Green Juice Day. National Peanut Brittle Day. I'll drink to that. I like peanut brittle. I do. And tomorrow is also National Spouses Day. I will drink to that because if I don't, I will hear from my spouse. No, seriously, I love my wife. January 27th, Monday, is National Bubble Wrap Day. Last Monday of January is National Bubble Wrap Day. Do you like, bubble wrap is fun. It's fun. You ever get on, I go out to the warehouse where I work, and sometimes there's bubble wrap on the floor. There's a joke in there, but our warehouse guy, when he gets really, really busy and he's packing stuff off the ship out and things like that, he gets really busy and then there's bubble wrap all over the floor. So I'll walk out in the warehouse to go check on something or do something and I don't realize there's bubble wrap on the floor and I just step on it. And I'm not talking about the little tiny ones. I'm talking about the really big bubble wrap. And I'll accidentally step on it and it just sounds like firecrackers, you know, gunshots and stuff. Boom, boom, boom. And it just makes me jump every time. Now, I've done this a lot. I've done this, I don't know, like 100 times or so. I've done it a lot. And every time I do it, it still makes me jump. Even if I see the bubble wrap on the floor and I try to step around it, and sometimes I don't miss it. And I still wind up on it, and it still makes me jump every time I hear it because we're in the warehouse, and the noise reverberates, and it's just really, really loud, and it makes me jump. And he laughs, you know, because he's used to it. But it always gets me, the bubble wrap on the floor. But it's fun to pop bubble wrap, isn't it? It's we know what bubble wrap was made for. It was made for protecting items that are being shipped. But come on, what's bubble wrap really made for? It's made for popping, right? Who doesn't sit there and pop bubble wrap? Who hasn't done that? Who doesn't secretly go out, you know, somewhere and nobody's looking and start popping bubble wrap? Yeah. Here's the National Bubble Wrap Day. And January 27th is National Chocolate Cake Day. Okay, I'm drinking of that. I love chocolate cake and I love it too much. So you can probably tell. Here's the National Chocolate Cake Day. There are more national days, but I think I'll close that up for now because I don't want to really overdo this with the wine. Let's see what else is going on in the chat. Charles has joined us in the chat. Charles, it's great to see you. It's always great to see you. Charles, you've recently made a move, haven't you? New house, that sort of thing. Congratulations. You know what? That's another thing to congratulate. Another reason to toast. I'm always looking for a reason to toast. Here's another reason to toast. Charles and his lovely wife have just recently moved. New house. Congratulations. Congratulations on your new home. Here's to you, Charles. Congratulations. So I think that does it for the national days, and I think we've done all the congratulatory stuff. I want to get through this before it gets too late, but we've got everybody's been kind of quiet in the chat. I know you're there. We have a lot of people watching, but not too many people making comments here. Comment. Tell me how you're doing. Tell me what's going on. Charles, tell me how the move is going. Let me know how the move's going. I hope everything's going well. Now, we have a news item tonight. In the news, this is wine news. In the news, I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but you like Rodney Strong? Rodney Strong wines, and we've talked about Rodney Strong in the past. My sister Gina, she often quotes saying that you can't go wrong with Rodney Strong wines. We've had a couple here. I have one in the back right now, right there. I have a Rodney Strong Chardonnay in the back. Haven't opened it yet. Maybe one day we will. So here's what happened here. Rodney Strong, I don't know if you heard about this, but this week they had a disaster. It was a real disaster. This was a... Let me see if I can pull the news item up here. Okay, I'll have to read it from here. This is from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services in California. It's a hazardous material spill update. On the 22nd, what was the 22nd? That was Thursday? No, Wednesday. that was a hazardous material spill. They had a huge spill of wine, a huge wine spill. Blending tank door popped out for unknown reasons and released 97,112 gallons of wine into Ryman Creek. The spill is stopped and approximately 20% of the spill is contained. The contractor and Rodney Strong Vineyards is conducting the cleanup. Now, yes, they had a serious wine spill in California from the vineyard, from the Rodney Strong winery, 97,112 gallons of wine that spilled into the creek there. Now, from what I understand, the product made it into the Russian River. They have a river there, the Russian River, not the rushing river, the Russian, R-U-S-S-I-A-N river. Estimate amount, they said the estimate amount that went into the Russian River was between 46,000 to 96,000 gallons of wine. Now, this was reported, Rodney Strong released a statement. They released a press release here from Christopher O'Gorman. He's the director of communications at Rodney Strong. He said, in the early afternoon of Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, we became aware of a leak in one of our blending tanks. Apparently, they tried to contain the leak and tried to save as much of the wine as they could, but they had to notify the authorities, including the California Office of Emergency Response, Helzberg Fire, and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to notify them of the spillage, the release of the wine, because it is, basically it's an environmental hazard, right? It's an environmental hazard. No, it's not oil or something like that. It's wine, but still it can be hazardous to some wildlife there. According to the press release, it says our best estimate is that at least 50% of the wine was diverted from waterways, captured by winery pumps, drain pipes into our vineyard ponds, and additional pumping out of Ryman Creek by Rodney Strong personnel and a local third-party company. Unfortunately, some wine made it from the creek into the Russian River. At the time of the spill, river flow was at its highest volume of the week at approximately 65 million gallons an hour due to recent rains. And so they're developing a plan, apparently, to clean up the creek bank without doing damage to the environment. So he says down here, most of us here grew up swimming in the Russian River, and it is a vital part of our local ecosystem. We are deeply concerned and are doing absolutely everything in our power to protect our waterways. And that's from Christopher O'Gorman, Director of Communications at Rodney Strong Vineyards. I have heard now, from what I understand, that's a pretty serious thing anyway. It's not just for the wildlife, but also for us. You know, people love to drink wine. It's like that's 97,000 gallons of wine that we'll never see again. Oh, yay. That's terrible. That's a disaster. Oh, the humanity. So you're asking me, well, you know, nobody's asking me, but you would probably be asking me, okay, what kind of wine was it? What wine was it? Well, from what I hear, I don't have a solid confirmation on this, but from what I understand that Mr. O'Gorman told the San Francisco Chronicle that it was Cabernet Sauvignon. So apparently it was Cabernet Sauvignon or a blend of a Cabernet and something else. I don't know what. But basically it was a blending tank, apparently, that released the wine. So if it was a blending tank, it's possible that they were blending a cab with something else, and which, as we all know, a lot of times that's what a lot of wineries do, is they will make blends with the Cabernet. It's often never 100% Cabernet. Sometimes it is, but lots of times they'll call it a cab, but it's really a blend of a cab and maybe something else, like a Petite Syrah or Merlot or something like that. But in any case, it's a terrible loss. It's a terrible loss it's a terrible loss for the environment, that's for sure. It's a terrible loss for Rodney Strong, that's for sure. I'm 97,000 gallons. 97,000 gallons of wine is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's a lot of wine. That's a lot of wine. It's also a terrible loss for us, right? For those of us who will never drink or experience a Rodney Strong wine. Look, I've had one Rodney Strong wine. I don't usually buy Rodney Strong, but it's not that I have anything against it. My sister Gina, she likes Rodney Strong. That's her thing. Can't go wrong with Rodney Strong. Apparently this time something went wrong with Rodney Strong. I'm not trying to make light of this, but I mean this is serious stuff. This is a real disaster. It's an environmental disaster, and it's a disaster for wine drinkers everywhere, right? 97,000 gallons of Rodney Strong wine. That's lost forever. That's terrible. Anyway, so that's our news item for today. Well, I was going to show you that we're going into the thing about labeling. And I want to show you something about a wine label. We're going to have a little wine label 101 tonight for those of you who are not that familiar with wine labeling and how wine labeling works. And I'm going to use this wine as an example, the wine that we're drinking tonight, the Nuttall family wine. You know, wine labels, there are certain things that that are required to be put on wine labels, and there are some things that are not required to be put, but are put on there for various reasons. And some of it's for marketing purposes. Some of it is for aesthetic purposes. Some of it is it's required by the TTB, which is the government's alcohol and tobacco tax bureau. I don't know why they call it TTB. It really should be ATTB, in my opinion. They just call it TTB, TTB.gov. And they have certain requirements of what you need to have, what you have to have on a label, a wine label. And there's some other things that they don't require, but that are put on the wine label. And there's some confusion. You know, when you go shopping for wine, you have so many choices, especially if you're in the supermarket, you see all these bottles and you're saying, well, what is this? What does this mean? What does that mean? And a lot of people pretend to know what it means. It all means some people really do know what it all means, but for the public, for the passive wine drinker that says, oh, you know, I'm going to pick up a bottle of wine to go with, you know, this or that or whatever. And they're looking at all these wines and there's a little bit of confusion there, which is understandable. Well, I'm going to clear some of that up with this is the part four of our presentation, because that's part of the presentation is with the labeling. And as I mentioned earlier, there's some people that collect wine labels. So I get a shot there. There you go. And there's some really nice wine labels, and a lot of it's by design for marketing purposes. Some of it is some of it is just very, very basic, like the 1448, which is back there somewhere. I don't think you can see it. That's very, very basic labeling. Or the where is the other one? The Saldo wine that I showed last week, which is nothing more than looks like a Dymo label on the wine. But that's actually by design. It's actually intended that way. Anyway, so back to the wines for a minute, to the wine label, back to the wine label. I'm going to explain a few things, basic things about the wine label here. And first of all, you have standard things on wine labels, you have the brand, you have the brand. And that usually appears somewhere. That's just the brand of the wine. Like in this case, it is the Nuttall family wine. Then you have the varietal, which in this case is the Pinot Noir. Now, the varietal can be a couple things. Here's the thing about varietals. The varietal can be the variety of wine, like a Pinot Noir. It could also be the grape, the type of grape that it is. The grape is sometimes it's not really a varietal. Sometimes you'll see something like it's estate bottled, or if it's a reserve, like it'll say Pinot Noir reserved. That means that that this is a Pinot Noir that's of you know, very high quality, this better quality than the regular wine, and it's basically they hold back some of the varietal wine for aging, for additional aging, and that's what they use to make it a reserve wine. The thing is about the varietal is it could be a grape, it can be a type of wine that's maybe a blend of different grapes, but it is a Usually the grape, oftentimes, but that's the varietal. Then you have the vintage. Let's see if it pops up here. There you go. The vintage of the wine, which is the year. The vintage means that's the year that the wine was made. Do we lose our stream here? Uh-oh, we may have lost our stream. No? Okay. I just lost the stream here for a minute. There we go. Everybody see the stream? Okay. Looks like we're losing it on Facebook. It looks like we're up on YouTube. All right, we're on YouTube, but we lost it on Facebook. Sorry about that, folks. Looks like we had a momentary lapse of the connection there on Facebook. Anyway, where was I? Let me close this up here for a minute. There we go. Okay. So, anyway, this is the 2016, in this case, for the Nuttall family wines. You have the brand Nuttall family, the varietal, which is Pinot Noir, in this case. The vintage, which is the year that it was made, 2016, in this case. We have the origin, which is the basically where the wine came from, where it originated from. Now, the origin, this can take a lot of different forms depending on the kind of wine you're getting. This can take the form of, say, in this case right here, it's from Sonoma in California. And that just tells you it's a California wine. Sometimes it will say that it's you'll see a doc like Pays Doc, which means a or a Pays something, which means that it was the origin was in another country like France. Pays Doc means it's from France. It could be Italian. DOCG for doc, like how's it pronounced? Denomination di origin controllata e garantita, or something like that. It's the guaranteed denomination or the guaranteed origin, I should say, of the wine. That is usually an Italian designation, that it was somewhere in Italy, whatever region that the grape came from in Italy. In Europe, they'll use the DOC for other countries as well. The DOC, it'll be maybe, it could be France or Italy or Germany or whatever. IGT, if you see an IGT there, that's a region of origin as well. Kind of rather than a wine style, really more of an actual region that it came from, like Germany or someplace like that. So that's the origin. You'll see that sort of thing. Alcohol by volume. Now, let me show you something about the alcohol by volume. This is what I was alluding to earlier when I held up this bottle. Alcohol by volume. Is in this case, it's printed on the side. You can't really see it very well here in this image, but it's printed on the side and it's printed up the side of the label. And it's very, very, very small type. Now, why did they do that in very, very small type? I have my opinions on that. I'm not going to say for sure why they did it, but I have my opinions on that. So, but if some of the things that you really have to have in this bottle of wine that the TTB requires are things like this. You'll have the bottler. That's who bottled it. Produced and bottled by William Nuttall and Nuttall Nuttall. And that's the winery. They're required to put their name and address on the bottle of wine. So that's who produced it. Then the next thing you have is the government health warning. This is the health warning, you know, that you're familiar with when you pick up the bottle of wine to scare people into maybe not buying a bottle of wine. or whatever. According, it's a requirement. This is a requirement of the U.S. government, by the way, which says, usually says, according to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Two, consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause health problems. So that's the health warning, or that's the government mandated health warning. Then you have another government mandated requirement. Well, this is the sulfite notice. The sulfite notice that says it contains sulfites. Now, if you're wondering what are sulfites? Well, sulfites are what enables the fermentation, partially enables the fermentation process. The sugar is actually in there. The sulfites are in there towards the end of the fermentation process. And the thing about sulfites is that there are natural sulfites in organic wines that are naturally in there, or that are naturally placed in there. And then there are sulfites that are added to the wine later. And because of the added sulfite, sometimes you get a higher alcohol content because of that. And a lot of wineries, a lot of the big wineries will add a lot more sulfites. Now, sulfites, naturally occurring sulfites are not necessarily bad for you, okay? Because all wine is going to contain some level of sulfites. It's the added sulfites. When you have more sulfites than you probably really should have in the wine, that's where it becomes kind of an issue. So they have a sulfite notice. When you see contained sulfites, you'll see some wines, like organic wines, that will say no added sulfites. What that means is that doesn't mean that there aren't sulfites in the wine. There are sulfites in the wine, but what that means is that there are no added sulfites. They don't add more sulfites to the additional sulfites. So you'll see this sulfite notice in wines that have added them, where it says contain sulfites. All wines contain sulfites, okay? All wines contain sulfites. But what this is saying is that it has added sulfites. It just doesn't have the word added to it. But it means that it says added sulfites. So if you see contained sulfites, that means there are probably more sulfites than what would be naturally there for the wine during the winemaking process, during an organic winemaking process. Okay. Then you have the volume of the wine. This is how much is in the bottle, 750 milliliters in this case. Most wines are sold in 750 milliliter bottles, although there are some wines that are sold in smaller bottles and some in larger bottles. And you know what? One of these days, I've got some smaller bottles behind me, but one of these days, actually, I've got a couple of wines there, some old Sutter Home, empty Sutter Home bottles that are in very, very small bottles. But I also have a huge bottle of wine downstairs in my wine bar down there. I might bring that up one of these days. It's like a 3-liter bottle. It's a huge bottle of wine. So 750 milliliter bottles are normal. That's the usual volume for these wines. But that doesn't mean that that's a universal thing. It's somewhat universal, I guess, for most regular wine bottles. But you've got wines in bags, you've got wines in boxes, you've got wines in, you know, and they're, you know, 750 milliliter bottles are, you got 1-liter bottles of wine, you got 2-liter, you got 3-liter bottles of wine. This is just the standard wine bottle of 750 milliliter. And that's what that's all about. The next item here is the last item on this one is about the wine. And when it comes to about the wine, usually there's something. Some wines don't have anything. Some wines don't have anything about the wine itself. Some wines have too much information and some stuff you don't want to know about. There's some wines there's some wines that have the information there, and that's mostly marketing hype, in my opinion. That's just my personal opinion. Like this whole thing I read about Earlier about the winemaking experience and stuff. It's really more just promotional marketing hype for a lot of the for some of those wines. But that's basically in a nutshell what you usually see on a bottle, on a typical wine bottle. That's basically what's there. Now, how much of it is required? The things that are required are basically the health warning, the sulfite notice, the volume notice, and the you know, the name and address of the bottler, and the alcohol content. Now, and we've talked about the alcohol content before. We've talked about this alcohol content before, and it's there's a variation. There is an allowed variance on the alcohol content. So just because it says 13.5% alcohol doesn't mean it's 13.5. It could be 15%. It could be 16.5%. They're not supposed to go over a certain variance, but it really nobody's watching that. I can tell you that the TTB isn't. I don't think they're watching it, to be honest. So who knows? There could be a lot of alcohol. Now, the thing is about alcohol by volume is not the proof of the alcohol. Alcohol by volume, alcohol proof is generally about, if you take this number, alcohol by volume, and multiply it by 2, that's really what the proof is on the alcohol, how much alcohol, you know, like if it's 12% alcohol by volume, it's 24 proof, basically. That's basically what it is. That's how the math works. So that's the labeling there. I did want to make a quick retraction. I can't talk, from last week. Last week I mentioned the Bagheri, and I want to show this to you. Actually, this is the bottle. This is the Bagheri wine that I was talking about. Very unusual bottle. I picked this up. It was in Charlotte, by the way. It was a few years ago. The person that wine store there, that was a, it was a different wine store. It was somebody who traveled around and picked up wines that he liked, and he picked up 3 bottles of this. They drank one, and they took the other 2 and put it up for sale. And I bought the last one, and this is actually, I said that last week that it was wine from the Ukraine. It's not. It's actually from Slovenia. This is actually a Slovenian wine. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And I thought the bottle was very, very interesting. I really liked the bottle. So I bought it, and I have not. This is a Cabernet. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon. Estate bottled, and estate bottled means that it was bottled by the winery, by the estate, the grower. If you see something that, and that's another thing I want to mention, is that if you see something that says estate bottled, it means that 100% of the wine came from grapes grown on the land that is owned by the winery. In other words, the winery owns that land. They grew the grapes. They bottled the wine. So if you see it's estate bottled, that means that the estate that grew the grapes, they made the wine right there, and they bottled the wine themselves. That's what estate bottled means. If you don't see a state bottle, that means that the wine was purchased from the winery or from the grape grower and processed, or I should say, made into wine later and by a third party. Sometimes other third parties will buy the wine and blend it with other wines and make their own wine bottle or wine from it and put their own label on it and say it's their wine. Where actually they actually had very, very little to do with, they had nothing to do with the growing process. They just bought the grapes. Sometimes it had very, very little to do with the fermentation process. They bought the wine after it was fermented, and they just mixed it all together, and then they put it in their own bottle. They bottled their wine, and they called themselves, that's their wine. That's their branded wine. And it gets a little murky from that point on, because you can have several wines. That's why I mentioned before, a $50 bottle of wine isn't necessarily better than a $5 bottle of wine, because it is quite possible that that $50 bottle of wine and the $5 bottle of wine might actually be the same wine. They're just bottled by two different bottlers, and you've got, you know, this, there's wine that, you know, leftover wine or whatever, some wine that's being sold on market that's already wine, and some other bottler buys the wine in bulk and bottles the wine and makes their own label, makes their own brand of wine from it. But it could be exactly the same wine as that $50 bottle of wine. It's a very murky business, the wine businesses, the wine industry is very murky. So when it comes to shopping around for wines in the store, I mean, just because you've got a label you never really know what you're getting a lot of the time when it comes to wine. So anyway, let's see what we have going on in the chat. Nothing on Twitch going on tonight. Nothing on YouTube. Looks like things are kind of quiet all over the place, actually. I don't know if it's because I put everybody to sleep or because they didn't like what I had to say. But if you have any comments, questions, or whatever, just send them my way. If you think I'm all wrong, I'm all wet, tell me. You know, tell me. Let me know what's going on. Tell me what you think. Do you buy a bottle of wine based on the way the bottle looks or on the label? I can say that a lot of people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people will buy the wine based on what appeals to them on the label and the type of bottle it is, what the bottle looks like. Kind of like what I did here. I like the bottle here. I never tasted this wine. And I'll tell you why I have never tasted this wine. I'm saving this. This is a 2012. Okay? This Bagheri Cabernet Sauvignon from the Primorska region of Slovenia. Alcohol 14.5% by volume. And it is a 2012. Maybe someday I'll open it on a special occasion. Who knows? I might open up on the wine stream on a special occasion someday. But for now, that's staying. I almost broke it tonight by accident. I was trying to pull the – I was going to show it to you. And I was on my little wine bar there, and I pulled it out. I was in the back of the wine bar, and I pulled it out, and it accidentally hit another bottle of wine that was in front of it. Or actually, it wasn't wine. It was this stuff called Glog, which is kind of a non-alcoholic drink, a holiday drink they had sitting up there. And it hit it, and both these bottles kind of went over, and I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to break my bottle of wine. I didn't break. Neither bottle broke, but it was a harrowing moment there. It was a little rough. Anyway, so I want to reiterate that if you want something from the Bill and actually Phil too. Phil, I haven't heard from you as well as far as your email. If you're watching now or later, I need Bill and Phil and who else? Someone else did Frosty. I need to get some email addresses from or some mailing addresses from you so I can ship you the things that you want over the holidays. I have a couple of these that I want to give out to someone. If you want some, you know what? If you want a couple of coasters, I'll mail you a couple of coasters. They're cheap to mail. They're not like – I'll mail you a couple of coasters and send them to you. Just let me know. Just tell me you'd like a couple of coasters. I'll see if I can send a couple over to you. Just tell me tell me what you think of the show. Give me a little bit of feedback and a comment or two, and I'll send you a couple of coasters. All right, I did promise my wife before we ended the stream that I would try her Millionaire's Bar. I'm not sure what she told me what was in this. I'm not absolutely sure. I think it has a Millionaire's Bar. It's something that she made. She makes some wonderful, wonderful things. I'm supposed to be cutting down on the stuff, by the way. And I guess I'll do so tonight, right after the stream ends. But it has, I think, some shortbread in it. It has some chocolate. It has a few other things in it. Good. Very good. It compliment the wine complements it. It's sweet. You know, the thing is, wines go great with a lot of desserts, but you have to be careful. That's a lot of sugar. But it's sweet. That's really good, actually. And it goes okay with the wine, with the Pinot. Not that I was surprised by that in the slightest, because I wasn't. My wife makes a great dessert. She makes a lot of great foods. And this is actually pretty decent wine. And once again, we are drinking the Nuttall family, The Nuttall family Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir 2016. Bill's Hidden Track is what it's called. This is a pretty decent Pinot. I think it would go pretty well with the, we tried it with some of these foods. It goes pretty well with the burger, grilled burgers. I think you can have it. It'll complement a grilled burger very nicely. It'll probably complement a steak very nicely as well. I didn't have a steak tonight, but it would complement that nicely as well. It goes well with pizza. I like the pizza, and I like the pizza with the black olives. It went well with that, although I think it would go better with a pizza with mushroom. I think if you had a mushroom pizza, I think it would go perfect with that. It went okay with the grilled chicken. It was okay with that. It goes well with the Gouda cheese, Gouda cheese from Trader Joe's, which I'm not surprised because a lot of different wines have gone well with that cheese. I didn't try it with some of the other cheeses, but overall, I like this wine. It's a pretty decent Pinot. 2016, it is not sold. It's sold out in most places. If you can find this, if you can find it, I would say get a bottle and hold on to it. It does taste like it has aged well. 2016, it has aged pretty well. This does taste like a fairly mature wine, which is not a bad thing at all. It's pretty good. I like it. I think if I had tried this wine a couple of years earlier, probably would have been a little bit too young. I think it's matured nicely. It's aged well. If there are a couple of bottles left, I think I'm going to go by the wine store and pick up maybe a bottle or two if they still have any left. This is a good wine. I recommend it. But I like Pinots anyway. But I wouldn't do that. Anyway, it's time to close up the stream tonight. I want to thank you for joining me on the wine stream, the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I want to thank... let's see, who was here with me here? Tim came in the very beginning. Tim was here. Betsy's been watching as well. Betsy, thanks for joining in. Thanks for being here. And Frosty as well. As always, Frosty, it's good to see you here. And my lovely wife, Chi, of course. Patty, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. And Nancy. Nancy, thank you for being here. And if Tom is with you as well, thank you for being here. Matt, thank you for being here as always. I appreciate your support and for being in the wine stream. And Pete, I want to say thank you also for being here. And if Aunt Connie and Denise are watching, thank you too, both of you. And my good friend Charles. Charles, thank you for joining me in the chat. And I hope the move goes very smoothly for you, by the way. And sounds like you're going to really, really enjoy your new home. That's really good. That's really good. No one else going on, nothing else going on here in the chat except Facebook. Facebook seems to be where most of the action has been. Of course, it's been a little spotty here. The connection's been really spotty here on Facebook tonight. I don't know what's going on with Facebook. Looks like it's pretty stable in everywhere else, but it just seems like Facebook has been, which is not surprising. Facebook on a Saturday night has often had issues. I often have issues with the connections on Facebook. So if you're watching on Facebook and you lose the stream, you can always switch over to YouTube at drinkwithrick.com or Twitch or through Twitter at drinkwithrick. And catch the rest of it there. Apologize for that. I don't know what's going on with Facebook. I really don't. It's just, it's been problematic with them all the time. Anyway, I want to thank you all for being with me tonight. Next week, I have a couple of options for opening. We could try to open that Rodney Strong Chardonnay. I have never tried a Rodney Strong white wine. I have had a Rodney Strong, I think I had their Cab before. I don't know if I've tried their Merlot or not, but I have never tried the Chardonnay, and this should be interesting. Now, I originally purchased that Chardonnay for the holidays, I think it was for Thanksgiving, it was for New Year's, for those who liked white wine. And I'm not a really big white wine fan, but I bought a couple of white wines. Here's the thing, is like, if I open a white wine, and like my wife Chi, she likes white wine. She will like a good Sauvignon Blanc. She'll order a Sauvignon. Buy a Sauvignon Blanc, or she'll buy something along those lines. And but she'll only drink a little bit. She'll only drink a little. Well, it's okay, you know. She just drinks a little bit. And then the bottle is open, and then it's in the fridge. And, of course, when you open the bottle, you really need to drink it, because if it sits around, especially if you put it in the fridge and the refrigerator, it's one thing to chill a bottle of white wine, which there's a – we're going to get into that next – I don't want to get too deep in the weeds with that. But, you know, there's this whole thing about chilling white wines and not chilling reds and that sort of thing. And a lot of that's kind of bogus anyway. A lot of myths involved in that. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but, it's one thing to chill a white wine to where it's, the 60 degree, 54 to 55 to 65 degree range, which is really what you want to chill a wine to, something between 50 and 60 degrees, depending on the wine. But and depending on your taste somewhat a little bit. But when you put wine in the fridge, you really don't want to put wine in the fridge. Now, I do sometimes. I kind of have to. If I've opened a bottle of wine and it's open and I want to drink it again the next night. But you really don't want it to be there very long, because wine in the fridge, because the refrigerator gets down to like the 40s, 45 degrees, which is really too cold to be chilling wine. You don't really want to be chilling wine that cold. So if you open a bottle of wine and you don't drink it all, if you put it in the fridge, you don't want to leave it in there very long. You needed to drink it up as soon as possible. And when you pull the wine out of the fridge, don't expect it to taste the same as it did when you first opened the bottle, because it won't. It really won't. So when my wife opens a bottle of white wine, or if I open one for her, or if we have a party or something like what happened on New Year's, and we open some white wines and some people drink some of it and then there's a lot left over and it winds up going in the refrigerator, I feel obligated, even though I'm not a white wine person, I feel obligated to drink that wine, because I don't want to pour it down the drain, especially if it's a decent wine. I don't want to pour it down the drain. But it has to be consumed right away, or else it's just not going to be good after a few days. So, in the fridge. So that's kind of what I do. Anyway, I went off on a tangent. That's what this is, stream of consciousness show. But I've got this Rodney Strong Chardonnay that was not open, that maybe we'll open up in the future. I don't know if we'll open up next week or not. I don't know. What do you say? You think I should open that up next week, or should I try something else? Let me know. Email me. Email me at rick@savoiamedia.com. That's rick@savoiamedia.com. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you'd like to see me drinking. I'll see if I can pick it up. Recommend a good wine to me. You know what? If you have a bottle of wine, if you're a vintner and you want to send me a bottle of wine for a fair review, it'd have to be an honest review. If you're not afraid of an honest review from a layman, just a regular person like me drinking wine, send me a bottle. I'm okay with that. Send me a bottle of wine and contact me and let me know and send me a bottle and I will give it a fair, honest review. Okay? Unbiased. We're not biased here. Okay? Even with white wines, I'm unbiased on that. Even though I'm not a big fan of white wines, I'll drink a white wine. I'll taste it and test it. It's okay. It's fine. I'll give it a fair review. All bias aside. But you can contact me there, and you can also contact me, leave comments at drinkwithrick.com. It's time to close up the stream tonight, and I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. And even though most everyone was pretty quiet except Tim, thank you for being here as well. And I hope your daughter is doing well as well. You know, Tim's daughter is quite an Instagram influencer, and she's really into that. Check her Instagram out. I want to say thank you for everyone for being here with me tonight once again, because I do appreciate you. This, once again, the show is not about me. It's not all necessarily about the wine. It's about us, you and me, getting together and just having a good time. I would also like to ask that you please do not drink and drive. And you know what? Next week, I'm going to, at the risk of putting a damper on the whole wine stream, I'm actually going to relate a couple of stories to you, personal stories, about why you should not drink and drive. These are personal, very personal stories, but I want to share them with you because I think it's very, very important. Please do not text and drive, because that's a personal pet peeve with me. And you know what? I commute back and forth between here and Rock Hill, South Carolina, every day, 5 days a week. And I would say hardly a day goes by that I don't see at least one person on the road. You would think that people are smart enough, and especially in this day and age, that people are intelligent enough to know that when you're driving a vehicle, that that you would be paying full attention to what you're doing, and that you would concentrate on driving the vehicle, that you would not be on your cell phone texting on your cell phone. And it just amazes me. It just amazes me how often I see people doing so. Look, texting and driving. I mean, look, drinking and driving is dumb. It's stupid. Okay, no argument there. Texting and driving. That's when you're really not impaired. You're not impaired, so you should be smart enough to know. I mean, you should be aware enough to know that that's a bad idea. But it just amazes me how often people do stuff like that, who text and drive. And texting and driving is absolutely stupid. It really is. It's just plain stupid. And let me tell you something, and at the risk of getting – look, you send me feedback if you want. You know what? As a matter of fact, if you disagree with me about texting and driving, please email me. Please email me and tell me why I'm all wet. Tell me why I am off on the wrong track. Tell me where I am all wrong, because I'm not. I'm telling you, this is one of those places where I'm not. If you are texting and driving, my personal opinion, you should not have a car. You should not have a driver's license. That's my personal opinion. If you are texting and driving on the road, you should not be allowed to drive a car. Okay? You're not responsible enough to drive a car. Okay? I'm just saying. So, please, do not drink and drive. Do not text and drive. And I didn't mean to get on a rant there, but I've just seen so many stupid things on the road. And look, I'm not the world's best driver either. I've made my mistakes as well. But I tell you what, I'm driving back and forth, commuting back and forth every day. I've seen some pretty pretty stupid stuff. I really have. And I just, it's a lot of that so unnecessary. So please do not text and drive. Okay, enough of the rant, okay? Let's leave on a positive note. Once again, thank you for joining me on the wine stream tonight. And join me again here next week. I want you to have a great week. I want you to have a safe week. Join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, where we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.